5, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. The title of our message this morning is Being Thankful. And kind of as we've seen the theme this morning, of course, as we're approaching Thanksgiving and the season of the holidays, I realize Thanksgiving, as we know, is very much an American cultural holiday. No question about that. And it really doesn't have a lot of religious connections to it. But much like many of the other celebrations that our culture has, we can seize on the moment as believers to truly use it for really reflection and an opportunity to look at our own lives and what all we have to be thankful for. This is something that we as adults can do, and certainly you can choose to do in your family. As you celebrate Thanksgiving, reminding those that are gathered around your table on Thursday about all of the things that you're thankful for that God has given you this year. Now, a little bit later, as we get to New Year's this year, we'll talk about how the New Year's celebration in the Old Testament and how that in and of itself was a time of reflection. It was a time to celebrate what God had done and then to prepare for the next year. And so while we'll think that New Year's in the same way is not really a religious holiday, it can be just like Thanksgiving can be. It can be a time. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to think about this because the Bible has numerous places where it commands us to be thankful for things. And as we look at what Paul writes, now he is in his final sort of section to this letter to the Thessalonian church, the first letter. He'll write a second letter immediately following this. But he's writing to a church that was in need of encouragement. In fact, they were under persecution because of their beliefs and the ways that they were living that honored the Lord. And so he writes to them to sort of draw them to strength and to look at all of the things that God had done for them. And I think as we look in our country today, some might look at it and say we're in chaos. There's all kinds of upheaval and disunity in our country, and certainly that's probably true. And some might say, well, the church is dying. There's nothing going on in the church to be thankful for. I would disagree with that. Because I think even in the midst of the chaos that we're facing in our country and maybe even in the world today, the church is more relevant than ever. And the need for Jesus is more relevant. And as we are commanded in Scripture to go out into the places that God sends us and to be the tool and the instrument to share that love with one another and those who are in need of it, we must also understand to do that, we need to, in our own lives, begin to understand what God has done for us. In other words, to be thankful, to sit and to reflect. And so I think in all of this command that Paul gives them, and we'll start reading in verse 12 and then come down to verse 22 so we get sort of the larger picture of what's going on. But our focus, obviously, will be around that point where he talks about being thankful in verse 18. And that's sort of what we'll key on this morning. And if you're taking notes, we'll come back and we'll answer this question. What do we have to be thankful for this year? What to be thankful for, in other words. And there are three things that I think we can pull out of this letter that he writes to the Thessalonian church. But again, it comes back to us understanding truly in our hearts, not just to give lip service to being thankful to God for something, but truly in our hearts to understand what all God has done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning as we are moving into this celebration of Thanksgiving this week. Lots of traveling and family, lots of interactions and discussions, no doubt. And Father, I pray right now on us as believers that you would settle your spirit into our hearts to truly grab and hold on to this celebration this year, to truly be something for our own spiritual lives, to ask the question, what are we being thankful for in our walk with you this year? What are the things that we've seen you do, the handiwork, the move of God in our life or in other people's lives, the answered prayers that we've seen this year? And help us to really focus on that this year, and truly being thankful, and then having the opportunity to share that with those that may gather with us to eat. And so, Father, this morning I pray that for us as believers, that you in some ways would enlighten us, touch our hearts and our spirits to truly begin to kind of reflect through all of the things that we should be thankful for. And then, Father, we pray as we always do, if there's someone here this morning who has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's hard for them to understand being thankful to God when they don't know Him personally. And so our prayer this morning that as we walk through this passage, that what they would hear really is a call to salvation, a call to finally surrender their heart and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then they can begin to understand why we are so thankful for the presence of God, what Jesus did on the cross, the continued work that God does in our lives. Lord, as always, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word this morning. Guide us as we do that, for it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 12. And again, as I remind you, this is kind of the end of his letter, so he's getting ready to conclude it. Now, we're not going to read down to verse 23, but that's where he really begins to kind of wrap the letter up. Now, oftentimes in Paul's introductions, as well as his conclusions, you can learn much about what he knows about the people and his heart and why he's writing the letter. Now, last week, if you were with us, we looked at the conclusion, essentially, of 1 Corinthians. And we looked at that both in the morning service and the evening service. And there again, we gleaned sort of some behind-the-scenes ideas of what was in Paul's heart and mind. And I think the same is true this morning in this passage. Let's start reading in verse 12 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. You'll see it on the screen, and it says this: "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you, give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people." And then he begins to turn in verse 16, and this is where we begin to see sort of the inner core of the charge here. Now, as we read this, I want you to think again into the chaos that we're experiencing in our world today and the message that we need to carry. Look at this. Verse 16, always be joyful. Verse 17, we've talked about this one before. Never stop praying. And then verse 18, and this is our focal verse. Be thankful, look what he says, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting in verse 19, and as I've said, we're going to go down to verse 22. And this is not really our focus this morning, but it is interesting that after this charge, sort of at the backside of this, he makes this sort of odd statement in verse 19. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Now that's a sermon for another day, but I want you to remember this right now. We in some ways can be guilty of closing the doors to the Holy Spirit doing what He has been sent to do in your life. God loves you so much, He has given you the choice to decide whether or not you're going to be obedient or not, whether or not you're going to sense and accept the presence of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't force any of that on us. And so when we begin to hear this charge, don't stifle. In other words, don't cause stagnation. Don't close the door to the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't turn your back on what God wants to do through you. I mean, that right there will preach. We're not going to do that this morning. But that in and of itself is a great message. Because I would say this, many in the church today are guilty of that and don't even know it. And it shows up in their apathy. It shows up in their actions. It shows up in the decisions that they make. And then he goes on to verse 20. And this is another charge that's important. Do not scoff at the prophecies. Now we get lost in that term prophecies today. So you might be okay to replace that word prophecies with the promises that God gives us. And God has given us, in some places, many scholars believe, about 8,000 different promises in both the Old and the New Testament. And these are promises that we can hang our hat on. Now, he goes on to clarify in verse 21, and then we'll finish in 22. Then, as I've said, we'll come back to verse 18. Read with me finally. He says this, "But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil." Now, this was an important charge, no doubt. And sort of at the center of it, of course, is this idea of being thankful. And as we are in this season of Thanksgiving, I want us to come back and look at three things that Paul communicates to the church at Thessalonica. Now, some of these are contained in this passage, but you really need to see the whole of the letter to gather these. So I'm going to sort of give you the Cliff Notes version of this today. There are three things that we should be thankful for. And certainly these things now become sort of the bedrock, the ground of what we should be doing this week. And as we look at these, I want you to think in your mind how you share these in your actions and in your words in the path that God puts people in front of you this week. Number one is this. We ought to be thankful for, listen to this, God's perfect work and plan. Now the Thessalonians were, as we've said, in the middle of persecution. They're struggling. They're suffering because they have made a choice to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And not only was that happening in their words, but it also was showing up in their actions. And that's why there was persecution coming. Those who disagreed with them were now attacking them and wanting what to happen? That message to be stopped. Now that could be similar to what we're seeing in the world today. Christians are under attack. The Word of God constantly seems to be under attack. The churches are under attack in some ways today. All for what reason? Because they don't like the message that we stand for. And so when we begin to talk about what he says in verse 19, don't stifle the Holy Spirit, part of that is don't succumb to the pressures of the culture. Don't let Satan use political correctness to silence what you do for the Lord. And so when we begin to think about being thankful, we need to understand first that God's work is perfect. There's never a mistake in it. The only mistakes that we may discover are ones that we make in not being obedient. And then in part of that work that he does is also his plan. And learning, listen to this, to be patient in the midst of that. But listen to this also, to be faithful to that plan. I don't know that God always does this for everyone. But I do believe that God has a plan for everyone. Sometimes he reveals that in long stages to you. And you know years ahead of time what he's up to and where he's taking you. Now in my life, it's not often like that. Usually what God gives me is the next step. And so out of blindness and hope and patience, I take that next step and then God reveals the next step. I mean, some of you live that way like I do. It's frustrating sometimes. You want God to give you everything at one time, but he chooses not to do that. Why? Because in his divine perfect ability, he probably knows, no, not probably, he definitely knows what we might react, how we might sort of ditch it. I'll tell you, as I look at my life and the things that God has led me to do, if I had known in the beginning that's what he was going to do, I'd have jumped ship long ago. And God knows that. And so that's why he only gives me the pieces that I need. Sort of a reference to this today is when we travel with our children, how many of you have had kids that said, how much longer? What happens if we get lost, Dad? What if the GPS is incorrect? Now, I grew up in a day where we didn't have the GPSs. My dad would pull out four or five maps and lay them across the front seat, or even worse, stop the car and put them on the hood. That meant we were lost. And Dad was going to have to figure out where we were, but he would never, you know this, never ask for directions. Because that takes away your man card if you have to do that. But the reality is that when we begin to have those constant reminders, listen, in our own lives sometimes we're guilty of the same thing. Lord, how much longer? Lord, what happens if this is wrong? What happens if I've heard this incorrectly? What happens if the GPS makes a mistake? I mean, listen, all of those things are things that we can be guilty of. We either believe and trust in his perfect work and plan, or we don't. And so it's really a daily decision we have to make. Because God's plan doesn't come, listen to this, in spurts or in quick runs. It's constant. And it's something that builds from last year to today and then to tomorrow and then next year. And what we really need to be praying for in those times is that God gives us the ability in our hearts to truly be thankful for what He's up to. And have the eyes, listen to this, have the eyes to be able to see it. And as you pray for other people, that's one of the things you ought to ask, is that God gives them the ability to sort of see what He's up to and how He's up to it. Paul reminds us of that in the book of Colossians, by the way, that we ought to pray that people be able to discover the will of God in their life. And I don't know how we lead people in that journey if we're still struggling with those things. It's not that we need to know everything. It's just that we need to be trusting and in letting God do the things that He wants to do. And as we lead our families and as we are working with people around us, our friends and others, we need to make sure that in our actions we're showing the thankfulness that Paul talks about here. Being thankful truly for God's work, His perfect work and His plan, but not just saying that we're thankful, but showing it in our actions. And leading those around us. You probably have children in your life that you may have communicated that same message to. Listen, trust the Lord. God's going to take care of it. But yet when they see the example of your life, they see something very different. They see someone who is not doing that. And so when we begin to try to teach others those things, listen, what we do is sometimes far louder than anything that we say to them, because they're looking at our example. And so as we think about this, listen, I think embedded in this certainly is a charge to remind the Thessalonians to understand God's work and His plan, the perfect work and plan, but also learn to be thankful in that and live as that thankfulness. Then he goes on to number two, and that's this. Another thing that we need to be thankful for in addition to God's perfect work and plan, number two is this. We need to be thankful for God's power and sovereignty. Listen, Paul's reminding all through this letter that God has the power to do the things that He's promised. That God has the ability. He's sovereign. Nothing will ever change that. And as we think about all of the things that God is and the things that He does, one of the greatest characteristics of God is that He is sovereign and on His throne. And nothing will ever change that. No matter how big a mistake it is that you make, no matter how much sin may be in your life, Or how many storms may be occurring in your life right now, none of those things will change that God is on His throne. And in the midst of that shows His power and His ability. And when we begin to fall into that trap of doubting what God can do, then we're now beginning to question ultimately the power and the sovereignty. And listen, that even fits back into what we said in number one. If God does have a perfect work and a plan, then we have to choose to follow it. When we choose not to, then we're actually questioning who God is and what He is. And so we understand that God is great. He's powerful. He's sovereign. Nothing will ever change this. Even your salvation is held in the grasp of His hands, and the very power and sovereignty of God protects that salvation. We talk about this often. We don't have to worry about losing that. I mean, what kind of God would we have that if one day we could wake up and Satan could somehow snatch away the promise of eternal life, of salvation, to erase all of what Jesus did on the cross for you? That's impossible. It would be like my children getting up one day and just saying, "Dad, you're no longer my biological dad. I declare that. I decree that you're not my biological dad." They can say that all day long, but it'll never change that fact. Same thing with your Heavenly Father. And so all of that is locked in on His power and His sovereignty. It's a testimony to His power and sovereignty. And when we begin to think about the things that we ought to be thankful for, that certainly is one that we live under on a regular basis. It's a grace act of God. It's not just an action, but it's part of His love for you. And all of the things that He wants to do in your life are stemmed on His ability to do those things. And certainly I think the Thessalonian church understood that. As they were being attacked, no doubt, They are certainly being sort of forced to think that. But again, sometimes, I want you to understand this. Sometimes the storms, and as the Thessalonian church is facing here, even the persecution and the attacks are not always bad. I mean, I'm not saying that God desires those things, but God can use those things, listen to this, to strengthen and make you stronger. I mean, I went to a university where not everybody believed about God the way I believed. And I had people in my life saying, you need to leave there. You need to abandon that because they're going to corrupt you and make you sort of believe things that aren't of God. But God really, in hindsight, used all of that to strengthen why I believe what I believe. See, I think too many Christians today are running from the questions and the attacks in the world when we ought to be using those to really deepen our faith and say, this is why I believe what I believe. And this is where it comes from in Scripture. And in all of the things that we do as parents and as a church and as a Christian community, we need to make sure that we're preparing these young people to be able to live their faith in a world that is increasingly growing to a point that they're resistant to the truth. And they need to be equipped to be able to stand up and say, this is what I believe. And this is why I believe it. And so as we think about being thankful about God's power and sovereignty, we also need to make sure that we're displaying that in the way that we react maybe to the world and what we teach those around us. Again, I go back to the fact you're going to have an opportunity, and if your family's like mine, we have some lost ducklings that sometimes come around our family. And so this is an opportunity at Thanksgiving for you to express the deep love that you have for the Lord. I mean, maybe God's going to put someone in your path this week so that you can share that truth with. And if they're gathered around your dinner table, they can't run. They have to hear these things. And so in your prayer or in your discussions, I mean, we used to do this sometimes. Just go around, what's one thing you're thankful for this year? And boom, you just softballed it to the Christians to now start just unloading. Well, you know, the Lord did this and this. I mean, I'd rather you not talk about politics, especially this year, and talk about Jesus. That probably will make things go a little bit easier at your dinner table. But God's perfect work and plan we ought to be thankful for. God's power and sovereignty we ought to be thankful for. And then finally is this. And this is one that we see embedded in all of the letter, to be honest with you. And in much of Paul's writings, by the way. And that is, again, a theme, a common theme that we find throughout Scripture. You'll see it up here. The third thing that we ought to be thankful for is this, for God's deep love and mercy. And God loves you more than you can ever imagine, so much so that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. We know that. That's a very Sunday school answer. It's a Sunday school sort of basic knowledge that even sometimes in the world today, they don't know that. And so we have to communicate that. But in the midst of that comes the idea of mercy. And I want you to think of this. Mercy is really not giving us what we deserve. I mean, God has forgiven us through what Christ did on the cross, as long as we accept that forgiveness. But we also understand the mercy act of God is not holding us guilty for our sin, but allowing what Jesus did on the cross to pay that price. And that kind of goes back to how we know our salvation is secure. You can't just erase all of that. If Jesus died on the cross for you and you've accepted Him as your Savior, then you can't just pretend that that didn't happen. And no one else can come along and take that away from you. And so we understand that an act of God's love and His mercy is the salvation that He has promised every single one of us. And that's the message of the gospel. That's ultimately the message that's the cornerstone of everything that we do as believers. Even in the midst of giving thanks to God for things, our own salvation, and then thanking God for what Christ did on the cross for those yet who may have not even understood that. And so in spite, listen, of the difficulty that this church is facing in this letter, they were commanded to never stop loving what the Lord had done, to never misunderstand God's love is greater than anything that they could ever comprehend. I mean, God has decided to erase your sin by what Jesus did on the cross. And the mercy part of that is that He doesn't judge you for that, because of your salvation through Jesus. Now, all of that, listen to me, is based on what Christ did on the cross and us deciding that that is the truth and through accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. So as Christians, as we're thinking here, then we understand that the mercy of God is that He has forgiven us. And that forgiveness is long-lasting. It's forever. And so when we stand before God in judgment, which all of us will, then as a believer, then we are now forgiven of our sin through what Christ did on the cross, and we have eternal life because the debt of that sin has been washed away. I mean, have you ever thought about that? That God has forgiven you and washed it away, as it says in Scripture, as far as the east is from the west. And no matter what the enemy may do or Satan may attempt to do to bring those things back up to surface, they have been forgiven. And so we must understand God's love, His mercy, and in the depth of that. And we are every single day as believers, listen to this, learning to love Him more. And that's part of the struggle of the faith as we think about discipleship and growing in our faith and all of the things that we often talk about. All of that boils down to the fact that we're learning to love God more. And listen, learning to live under His love more. And we love Him, why? Because He loves us. That's how that works. And we're learning to love Him. And part of our life journey is giving God more of those areas. Why is that? Because we love Him. And everything that we do is based on that love that He has for us. We ought to be thankful for that. That God doesn't change His mind. God doesn't get up one morning in a bad mood and decide to strike you down. He doesn't do those things. Why is that? Because of His love for you. And His promise of mercy. Listen, that's another thing as we think about our thanksgiving, being able to not only teach that to those around us, but displaying that. Forgiving others, loving others enough that we are now a reflection of what Christ has done in our lives. There's quite a few parables about that, by the way, that talks about how God sees that. And so if He's forgiven us, then we need to forgive those around us. And so as we think about this, what do we need to be thankful for? Well, God's perfect plan, His work and His plan. God's power and His sovereignty we need to be thankful for. And then finally, as we've said, we need to be thankful for God's deep love and His mercy for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we are thankful again, God, for the blessing of Your Word. And still how relevant it is. It's a living and breathing Word of God. Why is that? Because Jesus is still working among us. It's living and breathing because Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, is still working in this world. And so there's much to be thankful for in that. But it's also a living and breathing Word because it's seen by others in the actions of our life. And Lord, that's where we focus this morning as we hear Paul's charge. We understand that it's a charge that's relevant for us today. In the midst of all of the hustle and bustle of life and certainly the struggles that sometimes come with the busyness of the holiday season, Lord, help us, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not to forget all that You do for us. And not only, Father, to just reflect on that, but also tell others about that. And then show that in our actions as well. Lord, You take us and use us as tools and instruments this year. Whether it be this week at a Thanksgiving meal or just a happenstance of an encounter that we run into somebody or maybe in the weeks to come, you'll put someone in our path that You will lead us to share some of the truths of what Christ and what God is to us in our hearts. Lord, help us not to forget to share You with those around us. God, we again, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, we are thankful as a church for all of the things that we see You do, Your handiwork in this church this past year, and the hope and the certainty of what we know that You're continuing to do in our church. God, we celebrate You this morning. We're thankful. Now, I don't know what decisions need to be made, Father. There may be some who want to come and rededicate their life, maybe just come and pray at the altar about a particular need. There may be some who want to come and join this church, whatever it may be this morning. Father, we give this time to You and ask that You would lead us as we respond to You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of invitation?